You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Currently. Don't wanna tear you into
pieces. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Currently. It's a winning podcast for a winning team, and I'm here with my winning co-host, Chris. I'm Daniel. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
I love that introduction, man, but two wins. Have we ever had podcasts where we had back-to-back wins in one recording?
Shoot, I don't know. Playoffs, here we come, baby. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. What's good, man? How's your week been going?
It's been going well. Obviously, game on Wednesday, game this weekend. Man, it's been a lot of fun.
A lot of soccer going on, a lot of soccer in the sports sphere. Football's up and going as well, you know. Life is good, buddy. We got a couple games to talk about today. The Monterey game. Monterey came to town, decided they want to get the ass beat by an American team. Got it done. And then we had Chicago come to town, and we had to beat up on our little sisters over there from Chicago. So, hell of a time, man. We were at both those games, and I had a blast. I got to tell you, just a fun time out there with you, you know?
Yeah, I really love these friendlies, man. I'm a sucker for an international friendly. It just brings me so much joy to play other teams. So, you know, to have a team come to our house, to show them some Midwest hospitality in the form of a 1-0 victory. It was just a fun game to be at, and hopefully a fun game to watch as well if you're at home.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Hey, let's hop right into it. I mean, Monterey came to town for Kansas City Current's first international friendly. This game didn't matter, but it felt fine. It felt like very affordable soccer. If you had nothing going on a Wednesday night, why not buy a $6 ticket to go out to a world-class stadium venue and watch some world-class players? And that's kind of what we saw, man. We saw KC Current kind of kick it into high gear and they just pestered this defense that Monterey brought to town. I don't like to put too much stock into stuff because I don't know what a long plane ride does to people and then have to play a very intense sport afterwards. So they could have tired legs. They could have been rotating their lineup. I don't really know enough about their team to know that. But at the end of the day, we got the job done, man.
Yeah, you mentioned it. We bombarded their defense. And we sat during the first half, we sat on the attacking side of the Current. So we saw firsthand just every couple minutes there's a shot on goal. You know, DePina almost was able to get around the keeper. She was threatening as usual. LaVoge, I think she got a whole half, so that was nice to see her get a lot of time. But yeah, throughout the entirety of the game, we're just blasting the keeper, just keeping that pressure on. Credit to their defense, by the way, because we would have a good shot, but they closed down really well. They would give up kind of the initial opportunity, but when it came to, you know, blocking the shot on goal or just getting their foot out or whatever the case was, they defended pretty well.
Yeah. And it was Hispanic Heritage Night, right?
Yep.
So that was cool. They had some merch, some apparel, with some neat Hispanic Heritage nods to the KC Current design and whatnot. That was pretty cool. A lot of different players got to play in this game. It seems like Coach Huebloom made subs every like 30 minutes or so. Does that sound right?
Yeah, but it seems like they're targeting about 33 minutes per player.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of subs were players maybe you're trying to get a look at for next year, for the offseason. People that, you know, might not necessarily get the opportunities during a regular season were getting to play in this game. This game, dude, we started coming early, right? It was like the sixth minute, and we were just creating opportunities. DePina doing DePina things. She's fascinating to watch. She's just she's all over the place, man. It's and she makes everyone around her better, which makes it more upsetting that this team is not a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It was nice to see, you know, players like Chardonnay Curran, Soto, you know, got some additional playing time. Childers started as well, yeah. I believe. So, like you mentioned, Cassie Miller got the start as well.
Yep.
So it was nice to see some of those players that we haven't had much of an opportunity to see play on the field, you know, get some minutes and just get some eyeballs, because, you know, they're going to look at what we're doing now for next year. Who do we want to attempt to keep? We're going to have two expansion teams. I'm assuming there's going to be an expansion draft. So it's nice to get some, you know, some extra eyeballs on those players.
Yeah, man. And now the first half in general was not really back and forth. It was kind of them just trying to fend us off.
Yeah.
Like Monterey was just like, holy shit, like, how do we deal with them? They're putting on all the pressure and nothing came of it. You really thought something would come, but nothing really came of that first half pressure from us. But, you know, what I mentioned the subs earlier. You said, you know, Childers started, but Labonte came out at 33. Weinbrenner came in, and then Chardonnay Curran came in for Loera, Spanstra in for Cooper, and Larson in for Dabinha. So those players that came out, they're players you expect to see probably go the full 90 or almost. So when this happened, you're like, I see what the plan is. You know, we're going to be rotating them every third of the game, right?
Right.
It makes total sense. And then second half starts, and there were some halftime subs. Addison Merrick on for Del Fava, Croy Soto for Rodriguez, Robinson on for Balasegar, and Hamilton on for Lavage. So moving, dude, rotating, giving people a chance to play this international club. That's kind of what I feel like it is, just giving people an opportunity to play someone different. See how you match up against them. And at the end of the day, go have a little fun because it's a friendly, you know, have some fun.
Yeah. We saw Lauren play about 77 minutes. I think she had her and Lavage probably had the most time on the field. It was fun seeing her, man. She towers over everybody. She's a clear threat in the box. It was nice to see her.
Lauren.
Yeah.
She was on the longest at this ball came on at the 77th minute.
Okay.
No one else was on that long. That's wild.
Yeah. It was nice to see her play. You know, her and Stina were hyped up center backs coming in, you know, coming to the team during the World Cup. So it was just nice to see her play. Just a lot of fun. Like you mentioned, when those subs came off, I was thinking it might be a draw because our better players obviously started. And I say that with a lot of love, but you know, the players who you would expect goals from came off, right? And you just kind of felt like you don't know if we're going to see a goal. It could be a draw, but no. In the 57th minute, Chardonnay Curran got her very first goal as a professional. So I'm happy for her. It was a great assist from Hamilton as well. So she just had a nice, easy tap in, but way to be at the right place at the right time.
It was wonderful, dude. Just calm. She could have gotten excited and blasted it over the net or maybe just mishit it. And it was perfect. It's like they planned it or something. A moment that stood out to me, let me play a little devil's advocate here, okay. Is that early on in the second half, man, there were just a couple times that I remember. Now, this was a week ago. I'm trying to remember everything, right? And I just, same old story. The ball just kind of bounces around in the box and it's not getting cleared fast enough. And you're like, oh, shit, it's here it comes. You know, how many times have we seen that? It's going to get poked in the back of the net. Luckily, we escape with the shutout after all. But scary times, man. They gotta really work on dealing with those a little faster.
I agree. And going back to what you were saying, I don't know how long their flight was here, how long they trained. But, you know, just taking a look at their social media, they were training at the Kansas City Current facility, training facility. Yeah. So it seemed like they
came a few days early.
Yeah. And it seemed like they really enjoyed it, right? I couldn't imagine, you know, coming to see what we have in Kansas City, our training facilities and everything like that. And just having that, you know, for them to come and have that experience as just a women's only training facility, that's how you push the game forward, right? Like, it needs to become commonplace. I'm sure they're going to go back and want to demand more. We want our own training facility. So I feel like the more that international teams can see that, the more that NWSL teams do that as well, you know, it can help push the game forward. But it was just a lot of fun seeing them in our house training and having a good time.
Oh, agreed. And you know, shouts to them for doing this right at the beginning of their season. Like, they're in the middle of their season right now, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, taking time to come out here, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe take pictures, sign autographs to some young future players around the crowd. Do you ever stay in, like, for autographs or pictures? Are you into that at all?
I don't stay. I do like to see who's, you know, does stuff for the fans, right? Mm-hmm. So it just adds a little extra, like, you know, what a nice person, right? You know, like, Cooper stays a lot, Kaiser, Mimi Larson, and there's others. Yeah. They stay a lot, and they sign for pretty much everybody. So I don't know. It's easy to cheer for players like that who give back to the fans.
Well, you said Kaiser just now, by the way. One thing of note, Kaiser was the only player on this lineup, besides the backup goalkeeper, Franch, that did not get into this game.
Oh, okay.
She didn't sub in, man. She just sat there and watched everyone else have a good time. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I don't. At the same time, I don't know who you sub her in for. So,
right.
Because everyone was already kind of rotated. So, save her for the weekend, I guess. But you had fun. It was fun, right?
Yeah. I can't wait for the next one, man. I hope they do that every year.
Not a lot of people there. I was pretty upset about that. I feel like I wish more people came out. It's not like the tickets were expensive, right?
Yeah. It goes along with the theme of the Wednesday Challenge Cup semifinal. You know, this is a fun opportunity. A team traveled halfway across a continent, you know, to come and see us or come play us. You know, we can spend $6 and drive 20 minutes and just watch a fun game. So I just hope the new stadium is a little more located, you know, with a higher population, makes it easier for people to get to. Not me, not you, but people in the you know, Kansas City metro area. Hopefully increase the attendance on those midweek games.
Yeah, your Topeka and Lawrence people definitely adds a few miles to you. But at the end of the day, also terrible.
We still go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. But it's also not a huge addition, right?
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We're just being old and grumpy, talking about all this driving we got to do.
We get off work, we have to plan our meals. Like, you know, it's an ordeal.
Hey, that's serious. People. For a midweek game, man, I tell you, a lot of times they play on Wednesdays, so I'm thankful to work from home. You work from home, too. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Hey, cool, man. Well, let's take a quick breather here. Take a quick break, and then we'll join you back here in a minute.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Welcome back to What Movie Did Dan See This Week? Buddy, I went and saw The Creator. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
Okay. It's like the war against artificial intelligence, my friend. It was visually stunning. Very cool. Some plot points here and there that weren't, you know, great, but visually, I was in. So
I have a movie pass. I need to go make the effort to go and see it.
Robots, dude. Robots it's the future. We're in trouble.
There we are.
Hey, second game. We had another game coming up. Luckily, Coach Webroom rotated, so everyone should be somewhat fresh. They just had a little outing on Wednesday. No big deal. A little jog around. For a record-breaking attendance game, man, 15,671. They'll never have that many people again because the new stadium doesn't hold that much. So that being said, this was sweet. I mean, there was a lot of people out there to see a modern-day ass-whooping.
That is an understatement. Do you think the Longs regret not having a larger stadium now?
Maybe. I think there's, you know, I think when you're probably building a stadium or planning seats, you want to have room to grow. like there's a middle ground, right? You don't want to have too many and then have a bunch of empty seats every game. And then you don't have enough and like not enough people can come. So now you got to build more. I remember Sporting was asked this question for a while because we had all these consecutive sellouts and then people didn't come as much.
Right.
And they were like, okay, we're not going to do an addition until we can sell out this many in a row. So I don't know. Maybe there's a little sense of regret, but this is the first time it's dipped into the 15,000s like this. I kind of assume maybe a lot of tickets were given away due to competitions, maybe corporate sponsors, just to get people in the seats, right? Just to see what they could do for one last hoorah.
Yeah. It, you know, get as many as they can for the last time they can and get as many eyeballs and fans in the seats as possible.
No doubt. Absolutely. But this was, dude, your partner, Vanessa, she says to me that Lola Bonta, or no, maybe she said to you and you said to me that she, she doesn't talk to me. That Lo walks up and goes, are you guys ready for a funeral? Like they were going to murder Chicago and put them out of their misery for the season. And boy, we had a 9-goal thriller among the two worst teams in the league. This was phenomenal.
I mean, it starts kind of the last week of chaos, doesn't it? Decision day is coming up. All the games are going to be at the same time. But this sets the stage. You know, we were last place. Coming into the grave, or into the game, right? We literally reached out of the grave.
We are in the grave.
We are. But we reached out, and we pulled Chicago right back in with us. We eliminated them from the playoffs.
Little Undertaker moment. We just set up. Look, we're not out of this, though. We could still get the NWSL wooden spoon here, right?
Very true.
We are not out of the woods yet. I don't want to be last. I don't want that, especially in a year where you don't get the number one draft pick because there's expansion teams coming in. Like, that doesn't matter to me. I'd rather, right now, you're looking at draft pick number 3 or number 4, right?
Yeah.
Big whoop. But this was crazy, dude. I did not expect this many freaking goals.
Especially after the midweek game when we saw one, right?
Yeah. We had 3 goals per half right here. Like, it didn't matter which side of the stadium you were sitting on, you saw 3 goals. And that's
wild.
That's a fun night. How many times do we talk about, like, oh, man, they saw all the goals on that side. We didn't see nothing. And, no, we saw 3. It was phenomenal.
Well, and we got to play free. Like, we were eliminated from the playoffs, right? We had no pressure, no consequence if we lost, other than just some criticism. And then we just came out and we played free. It was a very open game, a very back and forth. I mean, they just let the players just go play. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, man. It started in the 14th minute with Izzy Rodriguez. Outstanding. Outstanding shot. She has a shot, doesn't she? She had a cannon out there and, Dabinha lays it off for her, right? And just puts it away, man. It was fantastic.
It was probably one of the better give and goes I've ever seen in the box. It's a memory, to be honest. It was just...
And you find yourself forgetting that Alyssa Nair is a World Cup goalkeeper. And all... Dude, I don't know who's got the time for this, but how neat would it be to look through Chicago Red Stars' season and see how many, because they've given up a lot of goals, bro. 6 in one game says a lot. How many of these were actually her fault? I mean, I'd find it hard to believe that she messed up on a bunch, right?
We've had multiple goals this game where runners were in the box with time to shoot. That is not the fault of Alyssa Nair. That is just a very, very, very bad defense. And right now they have a goal difference, I believe, of -19. And for that to be the case, but to have a world-class keeper, is that speaks to their defense.
Look, to put that into perspective here, you think like, okay, if they're the last place team and they have -19 goal differential, then we're second to last, so we must have like what, like -15, something like that? No, we have -6. Like that's the next worst goal differential in the league at -6.
A 13 goal difference between 11th and 12th place.
Listen, that dude, this didn't stop there. And you mentioned, like, none of this is a listener's fault, because our next goal, Lola Bonta, is like surrounded by four players, maybe just four defenders all around her. And I'm like, why is no one stepping in front of her? And she just picks her spot, slots it away, does a little south stand cartwheel and the twerk.
It was, to me, that what stands out is Spanstra's back heel, right? Like, it came to her, she back heeled it to Low. Low, look, she did like a pump fake, like she was going to shoot. That player for Chicago came sliding through, and then she casually just put it home.
It, oh my God. This is how she should just stand right now.
Oh,
she's a G, dude. She's a real G. She just freaking, whoops-a-daisy, there goes the defender.
That back heel was so filthy, though. Like, with no hesitation, just kicked it right back, right to Low, who was running in the box.
Is Spanstra going to be somebody for this club?
Yes.
Like, dude, I've been watching her all season, streaking down that wing, putting balls into the box, making one-on-one runs, making these crucial passes, and I'm like, she might lock down that position. Feels very clear, right?
Yeah. Feuerbloom said after the game that she's no longer a rookie. Like, she is not a rookie. Like, she's not playing like a rookie. You know, during the draft show we had with Chris Henderson, we asked him, obviously this was before the trade for Michelle Cooper, so we didn't know, but what player, who could be there that realistically that we would just be doing backflips over? And he said Spanstra. And boy, is it panning out. Panning out?
Dude, I forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, and why don't we just stay with that player right now? Because come on down to the 44th minute. Now, they equalized by now, by the way. But we scored too many goals. There's no time to recap theirs.
So in the 44th, was the ball in the box, by the way, wasn't it? Like a ball that we didn't clear, like you talked about earlier.
Corner kick, bounce around the box. Kayla Sharples tapped it past French. So,
yeah,
pretty messed up. Those are the goals we give up, man. It's incredibly frustrating. But I said we don't got time to talk about it. 44th minute now, almost halftime. You're like, all right, man. It's you know, 2-1, feeling pretty good. This game means nothing. We're all having a good time. Record breaking attendance. Spanstra creates her own opportunity now. She's like, that back heel, my confidence is through the roof. All right. She dribbles down left side of the pitch, beats two defenders, cuts inside, and just shoots it. Doesn't have to play it off to anybody. Just shoots it. First career goal in the regular season, correct? She did score in the Challenge Cup?
She did score in the Challenge Cup.
Okay. So essentially first career NWSL goal. Very neat. Very happy for her as you're now coming into you're coming into halftime, up 2-1. Just kidding. Own goal, Stina Balasager, right before the death. Oh, 3-1. So 3-1. Well, 3-2 now. Sorry. I'm all over the place. Too many goals. There's too many goals. It's too many.
What was wild about that is when the goal happened, we didn't know what happened. I think we were too busy like telling each other, because it was like the ball was in our half. There was no ball pressure, nothing. And then I just see French lying on the ground and people look confused and we couldn't see because it happened on the other side of the field. And we were like, what just happened? Is that a goal? We had no idea. We didn't know what was going on. And, you know, looking at the replay, I hate how Balasager gets credit for this, because she just did a simple back pass that a 5-year-old would do to a keeper. Yeah. And then French put her foot up like she's going to stop it, not flat-footed, right? Just put her foot up, went right under.
That seems like a judgment call as far as statistics go, officiating, yeah, whatever. It feels like the own goal should definitely be attributed to French.
Yes.
Because she just didn't stop a simple rollback light pass. But whatever. If this game mattered, I'd be pissed. And French was for a minute. Some of the gals came over, pat her on the back, you know, chin up, let's go to halftime, come out and whoop their ass. But dude, I couldn't believe that, because that's that stuff. we're showing those little glimmers of why we're not where we're supposed to be in the standings. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And throughout the rest of the game, every time there was a back pass where we were like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Like, there is times when an attacker would run up and she would try to juke. She's a person with the ball, nobody behind her. She would try to juke an attacker, and it worked, but like, it gave you a heart attack while it was happening. I saw a play, you know, where Izzy had the ball, looked Franch's direction, and I mean, I play defender for Rec, so, you know, I can't compare the two, but I've played with some really bad keepers. I'm not saying Franch is a bad keeper, but when you lose confidence at times, you don't want to make that pass. And she looked at Franch and then just turned around and just went the other way. Now, I'm not saying, you know, she has faith in Franch, and Franch is a great keeper, but it's just one of those things where, you know, it just, you can't allow that to happen. Like you said, that's why we are where we are, is those types of things.
There's no way she thought that. Like, there's no way she thought, like, oh, there's AD France, she trash. You know, she didn't think that. But it's just, it happenstance like that. It felt like it had to
die. When you see her look in France's direction and then turn around and not do the easy pass.
When that stuff happens, if anything, you should include that player more.
Yes.
I'm not saying her confidence was dropped because she let this little pass go by her, but when that stuff happens, you start playing the ball to them more and build that confidence back up, whether it's hurt or not. You're like, hey, you're still in the game. You're still my dog. We're rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
So, dude, you see it everywhere in sports too, right? I mean, freaking a receiver drops a pass from Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is going to that guy again. You think Mahomes is just going to blacklist him because he dropped one single pass? Shit happens.
Yeah.
It's just in soccer, the stakes are so freaking high when a goalkeeper makes a mistake. Being a goalkeeper is just, bro, it's like being a kicker in the NFL. Your little mistake can cost you an entire game. Your people are all saying, like, that's what you get paid to do, you know, be perfect. You have to be perfect. Look at that. With direct translation, man. That's wild.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy. Well, then you know what? There's too many doggone goals here to break down. So we're at halftime right now. We're going to take a quick break here in a second. But first, a little something-something from DraftKings. All right? So the NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game day this October. I mean, come on. We got upcoming games, man. You got Broncos and the Chiefs tonight. Shit's about to get crazy. Broncos are bad, so I assume you want to put your money on the Chiefs and definitely go with the over on the spread there. hey, get in the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KCSN. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code KCSN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, licensee partner, Golden Nugget Lake Charles, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We back today. So many more goals to talk about, man. I'm parched. Like, I'm just, three, two in this freaking game right now at the half, man. And I'm not feeling confident at halftime. Were you?
No.
It's not like, it felt weird, right?
It felt weird. It just, you know, we're playing the 11th place team. You know, it's, you just know anything could happen. But I was just happy to have that many goals, right? Like, on our side, I was just still pumped, still happy. The fan appreciation sale was going on, 50%, took advantage of that. I got two t-shirts.
Ooh.
And I tried to get a jersey, but I ran out of luck on that one. But Vanessa got three t-shirts and a scarf, I believe. So, and there is still an online sale going on right now that I believe has 40% off. And there are different items, so variety there.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, it's, dude, hell of a night. I mean, it's those goals, too, in the first half, dare I say, not scored by the normal goal scorers. No Dabinha, no Kristen Hamilton. Labonte every now and then, right? But her, Spanstra, Izzy Rodriguez, I mean, I just love seeing them spread the wealth like that.
Yeah. When you take a look at the goals and assists here, a lot of young players, Labonte, her goal was assisted by Spanstra. Spanstra scored, and then Loetta had two assists as well, and then Cooper had an assist.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about a nice core to have, by the way.
That's young players
that saw
them with us.
They're hungry, and they have great veteran leadership on the team as well.
Absolutely, man. In the 52nd minute now, we're 7 minutes into the second half. Alex Loetta plays probably the most beautiful pass I've ever seen in my life. Just plays it over the top, and Dabinha's slanting. I love a good slanting run, by the way. And Dabinha's the freaking queen at this thing, right? She gets onto it, brings it to goal, and sends it less narrow the wrong way, man. Puts it away. I think Dabinha shared this and was like, I I had to score this because it was such a beautiful ball. Like, it'd be a, you know, be a crime to not put that away.
Yeah, what a phenomenal ball. And it was so great that they thought it was offsides.
Yeah.
They thought it was offsides. Like, it was kind of like she started to celebrate and then the flag came up. So she stopped and didn't get like a true celebration. But after some
review, VAR, right?
It got VAR. And after review, whoever worked scoreboard changed the score before the goal was officially announced. So fans were cheering and you and I are like, don't celebrate too early. This is not a goal. But eventually, you know, they saw
this was different. A lot of people are still not clear on what VAR is and what it does. Every goal is going to get reviewed. Stay patient. It gets reviewed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When there's a goal, I don't know about you, I'm consistently checking the side referee to see if he puts his flag up for offsides.
Right.
I stand up to get ready to celebrate, but the moment I see that flag up, I sit back down. And I let everyone else do their false applause because I save my applause for the real stuff. Okay? Now, VAR cannot... It cannot just step in the middle of nowhere and, you know, review out of bounds possession plays. It can't be, you know, it can't be like referee calls a goal kick and then VAR is like, actually, it's a corner kick. You can't do that. You can overturn a yellow card into a red card. You know, you can review it for denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. And you review every damn goal. So, we need an education. We need a VAR education, and the stadium does a pretty decent job of letting us know on the screen what is happening, right? Checking for review, checking for possible offsides. But then the scoreboard starts putting one on, then takes it away, then puts it back on, and then takes it away. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but ultimately, it was a beautiful Dabinha goal, and I'm glad she got on the stat sheet with their goal. She deserved it.
Now an assist and a goal from her.
Now, exactly. She needed to get in there. I think she has like 10 goals for the season now. I'll double check that, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds close to right. Dude, Red Stars score again though in the 63rd minute. It's 4-2. Now it's about to be 4-3. All right. They're keeping pace with us. Defender Hayden Milazzo dribbles up, cuts the ball across field, set multiple attackers coming in. It's like, oh my God, something's going to happen here. I think Izzy Rodriguez clears this off the line. Not good enough because then Bianca St. George comes in and taps it in the goal. One of those things, man, we deal with stuff initially, but not good enough. I'm not going to beat this over the head with a hammer because this game doesn't matter. This season doesn't matter anymore. It's done deal, right? But damn, these defensive troubles have got to be fixed.
I agree. In quick correction, Dabinha has 9 goals, not 10. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
There's still another game for her to get her 10th.
Absolutely. And she very well could. Yeah, this is just like you said, another goal that is a reason why we are not in the playoffs. A ball that just was not cleared all the way. Went right to a defender, and you know, 2 of the 3 goals, I don't believe were, you know, Franch had a whole lot of opportunity there to make a save. It was dang near point blank, and if I remember correctly, that ball hit like right off of Izzy's like shoulder or arm. It was kind of weird, you know,
something like that.
Yeah, a bad bounce for us. You know, great finish by Bianca, but regardless, you cannot have a wide open look in the box.
Yeah, man.
For the opponent.
You can't let that ball get in there. You know, on that cross that should have been dealt with immediately. You know, you don't want to ever let a shot get off. But whatever. We still got the lead in a game that doesn't matter. I keep saying this because I'm trying to temper my own expectations. I'm trying not to be mad, you know, to feel down and defeated here. Right. But you think we're gonna get away with the 3 points. It's very close. It's coming down to the wire. They could put one in at the end and tie it and just be, okay, you guys enjoyed an 8-goal game, right? Fun stuff. Well, stoppage time starts, and 2 minutes into it, Michelle Cooper sets up CeCe Kaiser, man. Michelle Cooper comes, just starts just rushing through the center of the field, right? drawing in defenders. Kaiser's wide freaking open over there, just streaking down there, right? Her, I'm telling you, with her long legs and the length of Lauren, we got some goddamn giraffes on this team. I ain't even, even playing. These women are athletes, bro. It's just, it's an insane spectacle, and I enjoy it all the same. But Kaiser takes a touch, just a single touch, and puts it at the far post. I went to the bathroom, my friend. I was in the bathroom for this goal. You know, I was like, okay, I gotta pee before we hit the road. Didn't think I would miss the goal in stoppage time, but there you have it.
Yeah, and when did she come on? I don't know when she came on.
7.
Okay. So yeah, what's 25 some odd minutes later, she gets a goal. What a great job.
Fellas, yeah. She subs on and puts goals.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know why she just doesn't start the whole time, because what's the numbers behind subbing her in and her scoring? It's got to be good.
She's a bit of a super sub, right? Like, gotta be. The teams are tired. She comes in there with her speed, her long legs, her ability to finish. And I'm just happy she got on. And I'm happy Michelle Cooper got an assist, right? She just watched her friend, her fellow draftee, come in, have a back heel, and then have a beautiful cutting goal. You know, she wanted to be a part of that scoring too. But she had a beautiful assist, a beautiful layoff. And, you know, this game, what stood out to me is, and it deals with Kaiser as well. You know, who do you want to start, Kaiser or Spanstra on that wing? Like, it's a little bit of an embarrassment of riches, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, Spanstra, to me, this game, or towards the tail end of the season, this game, to me, her vision sticks out like crazy. That's something that's hard to coach, but she absolutely has it. Her vision.
Sure.
She'll do a pinpoint pass to a runner down the side. She'll do a back heel. She knows where to go. She'll put pressure on ball. She'll do a sweet move, get out of the pressure, make the right pass. That type of stuff is very difficult to teach, her vision, and she has that.
Now, I'm not a professional footballer, but if I was to, or a coach in any way, but if I were to judge a player in three categories and kind of rank them up against each other, I think vision is one. I think finishing is one, especially if you're up in the attacking phase of play. And engine, I think physical fitness and endurance is a very heavy one, because it's soccer and you got to be able to go. I think maybe Spanstra has her in the engine and the vision, but Kaiser definitely has that finishing part. Yeah. Just up to par, man. And we're lucky to have them both. Spanstra, what's contract situation looking like for Spanstra? A couple years, right?
Yeah, I think a couple years.
Okay.
You can also put Kaiser up top, right? You could take out Hamilton and put Kaiser up there. She could kind of play everywhere as well. So whoever is going to coach next season is going to have a lot of, it's going to be a challenge, because there's some quality there that you take off. But
okay. Coach Weberlund is listening to you right now. Like, what do you mean who's going to coach next season? What are you talking about?
Well, either she's going to have the interim tag removed, or, you know, they might go to different direction.
Yeah, might have Lee Wynn. What? No idea. I'm interested to see how that shapes up. That could be fun. But you mentioned Michelle Cooper. Just, it's like everyone telling jokes at a table, and everyone's having their little funny lines, funny moments. And Michelle's like, I want to say one. I want to do one. Like, I want to score. Yeah, I'd like to assist the goal here. So, good for her, man. Stoppage time wasn't over, because Mimi Larson's there, and she's been on the field for 10 minutes and was like, I want to play. Thank you. You know, I just got into this game. And she puts a goal away, man. I did see that one, by the way. She beat three defenders, by the way. Just cut them up. And Loera with her second assist. Alex Loera's pretty good, wouldn't you say? I think it's nice to have her back from injury.
Yep, and we extended her this year. So, again, another great building block for this team.
Yeah.
But what I liked about that, the Larson goal, was the finish, man, because she was kind of off to the side a little bit. Nayer, who is a world-class keeper, cuts off most of all that space. She has to have pinpoint accuracy to put the ball in the back of the net, and she put it outside of Nayer, and it kind of had, you know, when you kick a ball and it has a little bit of a curve, and the moment it hits the ground, like, it kind of angles in a different way. That's exactly what she did. She put it around Nayer, had that bounce, had that curve, went right in. I'm happy for her. She's worked really hard with the, you know, for the time she's been on the field, and what a great finish.
I agree, man. It's we're officially eliminated from the playoffs, right? Like, yeah. We're eliminated.
Yeah.
Oh, with beating the Red Stars, that also eliminated them. What a team win. What a team win. Labonte at the end said, that's a team dub right there. She's so funny, dude. She's got so much personality. I just love her.
Absolutely. And we talked about this last year and some of this year, but when the team has fun, we have fun. When you see, even if they don't score, the shot goes wide, you see them run over, you know, give each other handshakes, just, you know, they're having fun. Lowe's out there having a blast. Players are having a blast. And when that happens, we're having a blast. So to see the team as a whole just have a phenomenal time, the last home game here at Children's Mercy for this season, it's hard to describe how much fun that game was to attend.
So much fun, man. I recognized this at the time, and I think it was even pointed out by our good friend Daniel Sperry online, saying that we're doing different formation, different than what we've done all freaking year. And it showed, you know, and I'm not sure why we chose the last home game to tinker a little bit with that, but there we are. Whatever we were doing, it worked out in the end. So
he called it very Vlatko-esque. So I don't know if that's, you take that for what you will.
No, but I'm not taking that for anything. That's, yeah, take it. That's him. No, that's him trying to drum up clicks. I get what he's doing.
It worked. It worked on me.
Yeah, I mean, not what? Like Vlatko's behind the curtain just pulling strings and shit? Come on, he's not a part of this.
No, but, I mean, there's that connection. If you want to talk conspiracy, and, you know, that might have had an impact in that formation, potentially. But maybe not. Who knows?
What are we doing? It's like we're speculating who's going to AEW and WWE and shit. I don't know, man. He's out of contract. He could make it over there.
No, it could have been. Lee Wing could have, you know, had that input as well. Who knows? But
who knows?
Either way, it worked out.
It's cool, but you know, all eyes are on the league now. You're looking at it's very clear that Portland and San Diego are going to get the top two seeds.
They're officially in the playoffs for sure. I don't know about the home.
Oh no, they'll lock up the buys. I mean, with one game left, no one else can pass them.
You're right. So, you're right.
It's just a matter of who's going to get first on that one. Could be either one of them. And then you look down the way, man, and Orlando's still right there. Angel City's still right there. Racing Louisville could even jump in there. Houston Dash is a little bit of a long shot. It's exciting. I think it's cool, and I think you know, Racing was such a good team throughout the year that I'm like, man, I would love to see them, you know, jump into the playoffs. I don't really want to see Angel City there. They kind of annoy me. I don't know why. They've been doing great things for the sport. It's just that they're acting like, I don't know, they're acting like they invented soccer, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's that big market, you know, they get all the credit. We'll talk about their valuation here in a couple minutes, but
yeah,
it's just, everybody loves those major market teams, and you just see them plastered everywhere. And as a, you know, from Kansas, as a Midwesterner, we get tired of those types of teams, right? So
yeah, 100%, dude. We're going to catch Gotham off of two losses here, though. We got Gotham coming up this Sunday.
Yep.
They haven't won in two games. We just scored 6 goals. We're going to their place. I believe it's a 4 o'clock kick.
That's all the games okay. Before.
Oh yeah, decision day, obviously.
Yep.
So I mean, it's cool, man. It's could be fun. Gotham is, you know, not technically locked into the playoffs, really. They could still drop the hell out depending on what happens here.
Yeah.
But I would expect this to be a very difficult game. They're going to come to play, and it could be very fun to watch.
I mean,
Allie Krieger's last game, right?
Last game, U.S. Women's National Team legend. She was defender for two World Cup wins. So it's her last year. I imagine she's going to try to put her best performance out there and get a playoff game. But like you said, man, they have 30 points. OL Reign has 29 in their last place for the playoff spot. You know, it's six. So the Pride, Angel City, Louisville, they're all kind of in that mix. And we have a chance to knock them out too, man. They control their own destiny. Gotham does. But if they lose or get a draw, there's no guarantee for them. But like I mentioned last week, man, I want to pull them right back into that grave with us. I want to bring as many teams down with us as possible, and we'll have our chance.
Yeah, man. It's a play spoiler, right? It's always fun to be on that end of things if you have no choice, right?
Yeah.
They're missing some players. Time to jump. Make it a little interesting. You know, oh, KC Current just took out Gotham. What's that do to the playoff picture? It would be wild to see number four, Gotham, not make the playoffs because Louisville, Angel City, Orlando, OL Reign, and Washington Spirit all just shifted up above them. I don't know if that works. I don't know who they're playing to, if that could be possible, but it sounds fun.
Well, the fact that we have a chance to eliminate Lynn Williams from the playoffs after trading her, you know she's going to be pretty bitter. But more importantly, they want to win, right? I don't think they care too much about who they're playing. They're gonna need some points. Midge Purse is back. Esther Gonzalez came over. She was on the Spanish national team, but they're missing Christy Mewis, Allie Long, their you know starter keeper Abby Smith, and Kelly O'Hara was questionable for last week. So I don't know, even if she is available, she's probably not going to be in the starting 11. So they're missing a lot of players. So I feel like, you know, the currency blood in the water for Gotham. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited. A little Sunday footy. Good times.
Absolutely.
Dude, NWSL struck a four-year media deal with ESPN, Amazon, CBS, and Scripps. So this is kind of cool. Read what you got on there underneath there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The NWSL has reached agreements on its next round of media deals, divvying up league rights between ESPN, CBS, Amazon, and Scripps, according to multiple reports familiar with the details. The details run for 4 years, which would allow the league to hit the market again after the 2027 World Cup. The contracts are likely to be signed in the coming weeks. So technically not official. Pen has not been put to paper.
Right.
But, you know, the NWSL has been wanting to get more money for their media rights. And NWSL's blown up. Women's sports have blown up. And yep. It's time that they cashed in on it. I just hope that whatever is agreed upon is still easy for the fans to watch.
Oh, yeah, man. It's, you know, you think about those right there. CBS, obviously, you've got games on Paramount Plus and all that right now. Amazon, you could absolutely throw a few over on Prime. They, you know, they stream NFL and stuff like that sometimes. And then, of course, ESPN Plus has their very popular platform. So there's options.
The thing that does kind of frustrate me is, at least with Paramount right now, we have them all under one umbrella, with the exception of the CBS Sports Network. But
I like that.
Yeah, it's so easy. One app, you can just switch back and forth. Yeah. Having, you know, four different, you know, places to potentially view a game is kind of convoluted, but
it is.
I just hope that.
Oh, go ahead.
I just hope that the finances work well enough to make that inconvenient for the fans. So I just hope they get paid.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of what you know, MLS did for so long. They had ESPN and you know, national TV games on there, and Fox FS1,
yeah,
and sometimes Big Fox, and then out of market games you could get on ESPN Plus. Like, that's where you went for MLS games.
Right.
But now, man, they got everything under Apple TV Plus for like a decade, and it's been gorgeous. I really like the format and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no complaints. Well, cool. We'll keep an eye on that. That could be fun. You have included here in our little cheat sheet the 2023 NWSL franchise valuations, with Angel City topping out at 180 million value with 31 million revenue and you know, less than half that value, Casey Current sits in third place at $75 million. That's pretty wild that we're the third highest valued team in the league.
Yeah, and this comes from Sportico. That's who put together these valuations. But yeah, I think a lot of it too probably has, it takes into account the training facility as well. And that it'll jump, you know, with the stadium. But yeah, the fact that we are third amongst so many highly populated cities or teams is really cool. Yeah, LA and San Diego are always going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, you're right under a couple California teams.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
With a massive population. So
massive fan base too.
Yeah. So I mean, for the Longs to bring this team over from Utah for just a couple million dollars and then turn them into the third most valued team is absolutely insane. What great business for them, but they've also used that business to invest into women's sports. So I could not be happier. And we're going to see that number continue to go up.
Yeah, man. It's really cool to be above someone like Portland or Washington. Even OL Reign is down there in eighth. Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, there were some big attendance records this weekend. OL Reign had a massive showing. Over 34,000 people. They set a league record. And I saw a neat thing that for Megan Rapinoe's first game, there were like 2,100 fans. And for her final game, 34,000. And I just think like, that's growth. That's growth. Megan Rapinoe saw this league at its start, at its infancy. And she's been part of the growth. She's helped grow this league by her being on the national stage, getting into political issues, whatever, different hair colors, you know, having fun with the game and the fans. 34,000 people. I mean, that's half of a football stadium, man. And they play in a football stadium, right?
Yeah. I just think that's so cool. It's just a benchmark to see where we started and where we are now. And you know, we haven't topped out yet. There's still a lot of room to grow. But yeah, it's to the credit of her, a lot of the other national team players that have stuck around when this league treated them like trash, right? Whether it's low pay, crappy fields, crappy travel situation, what have you, they've stuck around. They helped grow the league. And, you know, we're going to be kind of in a debt of gratitude for them. So I'm glad she got an incredible send-off. I'm happy for her.
Agreed, man. We all know we set a club record in attendance. North Carolina did as well, just north of 10,000 fans. They set a team record for them as well. So women's soccer growing.
We should have invested, man. We should have put our pennies together and try to get a team way back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wouldn't even know where to start. It wouldn't be good. I don't know. I greatly appreciate everyone that's doing these things, you know, to keep these teams running. It's not easy. You've seen people come and go. You've seen allegations here, misconduct there, and people that are still in this league are the good ones, you know, keeping things going.
And credit to all the players who've been there and put up with so much stuff they should never, ever, ever have to put up with. It's because of them that, you know, we still have a league. We're able to show up and get 15,000 plus people in a stadium to watch them play. So, you know, credit to not just Rapinoe, but all the other players who've laid that ground for the league and where we are today.
Yeah, 100%.
So
cool, man. That's it for me. What else you got? Anything?
Oh, I feel like more has happened, but I can't remember it. But whatever it is, we'll.
Why did we both just do that? I made a horse noise, and then you made a horse noise.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't got nothing, man.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll play spoiler on Sunday. Could be fun.
I hope so. It's going to be a fun 4 o'clock. Oh, there's a couple of watch parties sponsored by the Kansas City Current.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are.
Bar K, right?
Yeah, one's a Bar K. One of them, I believe, is a hockey bar. I can't.
Yeah, the Blue Line, I think it's.
Yeah, called. There you go. So go out there, giveaways, all that good stuff.
Cool. Cool. Well, all right. Well, guys, thanks so much for being here. We'll be back next week to recap the Gotham game and maybe talk playoff seeding and see where things are going to go from there. Maybe make some fun speculations and predictions and all that. So in the meantime, check us out on Twitter at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at ChrisWright21. Email us, NoOtherPod@gmail.com. You can follow us on YouTube, KCSN, over there on YouTube. We're doing things. And 5-star ratings and reviews. Oh, it was going to be the one time I didn't say it. We got to have the 5 stars. Thank you so much. We love you guys so much. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.